Shkalim Perk Ches, Mishnah Dalet 8:4. We now have completed those Mishnayas talking about decision making under uncertainty and finding lost objects. Now we are, since we had discussed the question of Tuma and the knives, we are now just going to lapse into another topic about Tuma and the Parochet, the curtains. The focus here of our Mishnah are there are two possible curtains I could be talking about. Both are equally applicable. One is the curtain that divides between the outer area of the Azar, the courtyard, and the Ulam, the entrance to the antechamber, which leads into the Heichal, the Kodesh. Or it could be the one of the two curtains, Parochos, that divide between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. Either way, it's a kli, it's considered to be a utensil, it's susceptible to tumah because it's beged, it's woven natural fabric, natural fibers. And that being the case, so our Mishnah wants to consider what happens if the parochas becomes tameh. Now the rule is that tumah may not stay in the azara area, it has to be removed promptly. You can't have tumah in the azara. But there's two possible ways in which it could become tameh. It could become tameh midoraisa or just midorabanan. Normally, meaning midah araisa, a kli, a utensil, is only susceptible to tuma from an avatuma, a primary source of tuma, like a person who's tame as a zav or a zava or a nida, or a other dead object, let's say like a nevela or a sheretz, and so on. Now, if that avatuma touches or conveys tuma to the paroches, it becomes tame and has to be taken away, as we'll see in the Mishnah, out of the azara, and immersed in a mikvah to become tahor again. And even after its immersion, as we said in the previous Mishnah, the kli remains tameh as a tful yom, having residual tuma, until Harav Shemesh, till nightfall. So, if that's the case, the real tuma introduced to the Azara by conveying tuma from the Ava tuma to the Paroches requires the Paroches to be removed, the curtain removed from the Azara and staying out, even after its immersion, until nightfall when it becomes tahor. However, there's another way that a parochas could become tameh, and that is from a liquid. Now, midoraisa, most liquids that were exposed to tumah cannot convey tumah to any kli, because a kli can only become tameh from an avatumah, and most liquids, we're talking beverages and so on, so those things are only at most a rishon, not a source of tumah, so they've been touched by some tumah thing. And the rule midoraisa is that a rishon the tumah, someone that's on an avatumah, cannot make a utensil a kli tumah. Nevertheless, there's a dindarabanan. This is a very important dindarabanan in the world of tumah tahara because it affects so much of what goes on. We say that a liquid that becomes tumah actually rises up to be a rishon. That's rule number one. Rabbinic rule number two, which is relevant to our Mishnah here, is that a tame liquid that's considered to be a rishon can convey tuma, at least midurabanan, to kalim. That is to say, a liquid that's tame is a rishon, and if it touches a utensil, a kli, the kli becomes a shein l'tuma, midurabanan. Midurais, however, remains tahor. The reason why the rabbis made liquids able to convey tuma to utensils is because there are certain liquids which actually could be navatuma, like the spit from a zav and so on, and therefore we just, midurabanan, have all liquids being potentially tame and cause them, if they get exposed to tuma, rishons that can make kalim into a sheni. So, in the event that the paroch is exposed to not an avatuma, but rather a vlad hatuma, meaning a secondary source of tuma, vlad again meaning like an offspring as opposed to the av, the parent. So this is an offspring, a secondary source of tumah, and therefore we're talking about only tumah durabanan, if such a vlad, meaning the liquid that became tameh, touches the parochet. So then really, on a durais level, the parochet remains tahor, midurabanan, it's tameh. And that being the case, we will not require that the parochet, if it's only rabbinically tameh, leave the azara. We do have to be metaharit, of course, we'll put that into a mikvah, but it can all happen, however, on the in the temple precinct, in the azara. Temple courtyard. So here the Mishnah says, Paroches, if you have a curtain, Shenitmes bevlad hatuma, in the Azara, and it became tame from a vlad hatuma, meaning a liquid that was tame, meaning we're talking rabbinic tuma, so then matbilen oso bifnim, one can immerse it in a mikvah inside, meaning inside the Azara. There was one mikveh in the Azara that was on top of what's called the Beis HaParva. We'll learn more about that a little bit in Maseches Yoma, where the Kohen Gadol immersed himself. But that's a functioning mikveh, so you could put it there. Umachnis nosam yad, and you can put it right back inside, meaning inside where it came from, to the entrance of the Ulam, or between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim, immediately. Because once it's been immersed, it's tahor for sure, and although there's, you know, we're not there's no din derabanan that a kli which is tami midirabanan is also tful yom. No, there's no vestige of tuma even, so you can go right back in. However, ve'esh nitmis ba'ava tuma, if a bona fide source of tuma, a dorai source of tuma, like a dead rat, touches the parochas, so then the parochas is tame and must be removed from the azara, and therefore matbilin osa b'chutz. It has to be removed from the Azara and immersed in a mikvah that is existing outside of the courtyard, the Azara. V'shotchen osa b'chel. And then it has to be left out to dry, not inside the Azara, but it will be brought to the area nearest the Azara. That's the chel. If you recall, we discussed it long ago. There was a fence, the sorig, that went around the whole Azara area, including the Ezra's Nashim as well, at a distance of 10 Amos. So this 10 Amos area between the walls of the Azara and the Soreg, the fence, that 10 Amos is called the Chel. And we say we put this curtain in the Chel area, we bring as close as we could, but staying outside of the Azara to dry over there. Vim Haisa Chadasha. If, says the Mishnah, this is a new curtain and it's still showing off its beauty, as we'll learn more. A little more in the next Mishnah, not much, but we'll talk about it a little bit. The curtains, whether you're talking about in front of the Ulam or in front of the Kodesh Kodashim, both those curtains were exposed to a lot of smoke from the altar, the outer one from the outer altar, and the inner one from the Ketores, the incense that's burning there. So they became less impressive after a time. But if it's a new one, and you'll see they replace them every year, so, or maybe twice a year, so it was impressive for other people, we wouldn't just put it on the chel to dry, rather we want people to see it. And therefore, vim haisa chadasha, if it was a new and beautiful, especially beautiful and impressive curtain, shotchen osa al gag ha-itztaba, they would put it to dry atop the roof of the itztaba. The itztaba, if you recall, around the Har HaBayis, the Second Temple period, around the Temple Mount area where there's a big area to gather, there was a portico. There was like a series of benches, double row of benches that went around the perimeter of the Har HaBayis area, and a colonnade within that, sort of offsetting it. And the colonnade held up a roof, making a portico, and made for like a sheltered area where people could sit on those benches, out of the elements, sun and rain. So we're talking about on the roof of that area, on top of that portico, we would hang this curtain. And that way, kadei sheyiru ha'am es malachtan. So everybody from afar in Jerusalem could see the beautiful craftsmanship that went into the curtains. Shehi na'ah, as Mish says, it was really beautiful. And that's important because we need people to mitnadev, to volunteer, to contribute to the cost of the manufacture of these curtains, which are very expensive, and therefore want them to be impressed at their beauty so that they will pay for new ones, because we said, as I said, and I will see in more in just a moment, the next Mishnah, that the curtains were replaced on a regular basis, and therefore the cost of replacing them was incurred on a regular basis. We needed donors, and therefore we want to impress the nation with the beauty of these curtains.